The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
I'm with Greg Scallon, and he's the print services manager here at Apple. And Greg is working with both the iPhoto and the Aperture print services. And why don't you just give us a little background on how we've gone from, you know, print services with iPhoto only to now. I mean, you were actually the product manager for a while, a long time with iPhoto. So tell us a little bit about the evolution, just so we have kind of a feel for the importance that Apple's putting on printing right now.
Well, sure. You know, back in January of 2002, we launched iPhoto, and right at the beginning, right from the beginning, we offered not only the ability to purchase regular silver halide prints out of iPhoto, but this revolutionary concept of being able to lay out your own coffee table book, if you will, you know, your own custom printed book. And that was, it was truly revolutionary at the time. Nobody was doing that, and we had great success with it. So we, throughout the years, have been building on that success, adding the book capabilities to different geographies, Europe into Japan, and adding, you know, making changes to double-sided pages from single-sided pages, changing our color aspects around. But one of the big things happened a year and a half ago, and that was Aperture. And right from the start, we knew we wanted to offer books available through Aperture, because we got a lot of feedback through the years coming out of iPhoto from the professional photographers and certainly the higher-end hobbyist photographers saying, hey, I really want the option to do custom books, you know, for a whole variety of reasons that we can talk about.
So that's great. So you get to see both, you know, the Aperture world and the iPhoto world in terms of print services. Now, obviously, Aperture has both prints and books. And on the iPhoto side, then you guys are also dealing with calendars and greeting cards. So you got, I suppose you had pretty good action this holiday season in that area, didn't you?
Yeah, it was an amazing season for us. Basically, it was about a year and a month ago that we announced that we were going to be offering the calendars and cards in addition to books and prints within iPhoto. And these are definitely geared toward the consumer market. That's where we wanted to go first. Got a lot of questions and people asking about those products for the last couple of years. And we launched them in January, just after the holiday season, basically giving ourselves a breather. That was with the new version of iLife a year and a month ago. And we just sort of waited for this holiday season to see what would happen. And it was absolutely mind-blowing, the response that we had from our customers. You know, it was also interesting because a lot of the customers were previous book and print customers from iPhoto, but a good solid number of people had never purchased a product from us before, and they were new customers that were drawn toward these new products. So it's been really successful. It's been fun. And I think it validates the idea of continuing to sort of add new products to, you know, the iPhoto line and the Aperture line as we go forward. So it was really successful.
So now, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference in printing books and so forth out of Aperture and iPhoto in a minute. But one of the things I wanted to say, even though Aperture per se doesn't allow you to do greeting cards and calendars, but since you can see your Aperture library, if you're generating previews right now in iPhoto, you can use the functionality of iPhoto with your Aperture images, you know, thanks to this ability to share previews.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the main you know, driving factors for making the Aperture media available in iPhoto. It just makes perfect sense, right? We will most likely continue to come out with, you know, very unique, creative designs that are more consumer focused for cards, calendars, but also for books too. And that makes perfect sense in the iPhoto world, but you know, a lot of the folks that we work with on the professional side with Aperture, sure, they want the professional-looking designs for some segment of their books and what they need. But they're people, too, and they're consumers, too. And they want the ability to take those images and seamlessly, you know, purchase some of the other products. And so now doing that through iPhoto, you know, at least opens it up to them and makes it available. They have the option of using any image, basically, for any product that we sell, which is great.
Now, that's a nice segue also into the differences between printing a book out of Aperture versus printing a book out of iPhoto. Are the differences mainly in the templates, or are there things going on behind the scenes we don't know about? Kind of give us an overview of the landscape there.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, we did a lot of homework in the last about, let's say about 2 years ago, we really started doing a lot of homework on printing technology, custom book printing technology. We looked at all the different technologies out there in the world, and we decided that the NexPress technology from Kodak was the best out there that for the type of one-off, unique custom book printing that we do. And we migrated to that technology in January. The printing technology that we use, because we feel it's the best out there for this type of thing, is the same between Aputure and iPhoto. And that goes for the actual printed pages of the book and also the binding that we use and the actual covers. Where the difference really lies, and I guess you would expect this, is the customization of the book. We knew right away when we were developing the book technology for Aputure that users, the Aputure style of user was a much more advanced user, often much more creative. They wanted to have the ability to customize their book to a much higher degree than your average consumer would in iPhoto. And that's what we offered them. So the big difference between iPhoto and Aputure is that with an Aputure layout, you have the option of doing things like rotating your photos. You have a lot of flexibility in zooming them and panning your photos. You can move frames around on the page. You have additional capabilities with working with text, you know, multi-column text on the page, that sort of thing. Whereas with iPhoto, you have a variety of templates and backgrounds to choose from, but you don't have quite as much flexibility in terms of rotating photos, moving them around on the page. They're pretty stagnant in that regard. So a lot more flexibility in the layout and customization of the book, and then the printing is as top-notch as we can give you.
And again, because of previews, then actually Aputure users have access to both worlds. So they have access to the sort of the high-end Aputure bookmaking in terms of layout and design control. But yet, if you want to do something fun for Mother's Day, you can do that and just open up your images in iPhoto and use all those templates too. So actually, when you add them all up, you have a lot of book templates to choose from, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And it's also interesting in my experience, you know, hearing from Aputure users specifically. Like I mentioned, Aputure using pro photographers are people too. And, you know, it's hard. I guess I've been surprised at the breadth of the types of books that are coming out of professional photographers using Aputure. Some are used as, you know, leave behinds when they're going to talk to clients. And often those books are very clean and elegant looking, a very minimalist design, really focusing on the photographs themselves. And then on the other hand, they'll lay out, for instance, maybe a wedding book that a bride or groom will give to, you know, the parents or the grandparents. And that's something that's more geared toward, you know, the actual bride and groom. And often it'll use a more fancy design style of template. And sometimes also they'll bring those into iPhoto and use some of our more artsy Apple design templates for that. So it really, the gamut is quite large as to how people are using these things and what designs they choose.
So let's talk a little bit about DPI and image compression, because obviously, so we have the images on our computer. We have to upload them to the print service. In order to make that happen, right, in order to make that reasonable both for upload time and then also, you know, managing those files at the print end, some things have to happen there. So can you kind of give us a little overview of both, the choices that you've made with Apple has made with DPI, and then tell us a little bit of how you balance, JPEG compression with that, and so we can get a feel for what's happening when we send a book up.
Yeah, of course. You know, it might help to just take a step back to 2002 when we first launched the book service with iPhoto. We started by working at 150 DPI, and what we would do is we take your book layout, so all of your photos are placed into the layouts that we offer, and then when you click order, we're basically bringing that whole layout and PDFing it. And we PDF'd it at 150 DPI, and we would upload it and then print it. And that worked quite well back in 2002. Broadband obviously wasn't as popular then, wasn't as prolific. But about a couple years ago, actually, we started looking very seriously again at whether, you know, we were doing the optimum thing. We started running a whole bunch of tests in-house. And basically, like you said, we were looking at the grid of options and what we would get, looking at different compression levels for JPEG compression of the images and how that related to different DPI levels going to printing. And what we found was that by increasing the DPI that we were printing at from 150 to 300, we would get excellent print quality. We had a big bump in print quality from 150 to 300 DPI. And we actually found that we could keep the PDF at a reasonable size, considering the broadband was much more prolific, but a reasonable size if we decreased the JPEG or increased the JPEG compression just a bit. So we increased the JPEG compression a little, and we doubled the DPI, and that did increase the size of our upload, but within acceptable range. And we found that that was really the sweet spot. If we increase the DPI or decrease the JPEG compression any more, it didn't really help us that much. The images didn't look a whole lot crisper. So we feel that we really have a sweet spot there for DPI and JPEG compression.
So do you have any tips that we should pass along for photographers that are making books or, you know, things that you see, oh, wow, you know, if you only did this, you know, you'd get a little better result or anything like that, stuff that you've run into in real life here?
Well, I think, you know, most of my tips, it's funny because most of my tips would be for sort of no-brainers to your very tech-savvy, image-savvy aperture user, you know, as opposed to somebody who's using iPhoto, you know, and really isn't used to this. But certainly I would always advocate for, you know, going through the entire book image by image, making sure your images in their own folder before even creating the book really look the best they can. So before you even bring them into a book, go through and make sure those images are absolutely top-notch. Don't start with a bucket of images that sort of vary all over the color map. Maybe we're taken at different times and look very different because your book's not going to look polished that way. But I would also suggest one sort of general idea, and that is whether you're in iPhoto making a book or aperture making a book, take the time, I would say, to spend a half an hour with maybe a dummy book and just bring some images in and fool around with all the different options. You'd be amazed at all the different options that are there if you take the time to sort of, you know, look around, poke around, I guess is the best example, because there are a lot of options in terms of double-clicking on an image inside a frame and having the ability to zoom in and pan that image around, rotating, like I said, a lot of different font and text options, fonts, you know, that really give your book a completely different look, you know, than some of the default looks. So I would say take the time to go poke around, and the average aperture user obviously is a savvy person. They're going to figure that out, and then you have a much wider range in terms of what you can design. You can take your design creativity and sort of go from there. So that would be my main tip.
How about the notion of maybe even after you do that, taking some of those pages and printing them out yourself? Because, you know, you can do that. You can save your book to PDF and print out some individual pages just to see. Obviously, if your color management's a little bit different than the color management of the print service, it might not be exactly the same, but I think you probably get a feel for the images in relationship to one another. Have you ever played around with printing them out first before you send them up to the service?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a variety of people that tend to make that a habit and do that as a habit. Definitely on the higher-end aperture side, people want to make sure that book's looking absolutely perfect before it gets shipped off and printed. You can do that by either – you can do it a couple ways. You can print physical copies, of course, if you want to actually look. But you can also, through the print panel, of course, view the PDF that's generated. So that's another way to on screen at least go through your book and make sure that all of your font choices are the way you want, you know, that the images lay out correctly and that PDF really looks just like you want. It's a great way to proof the book. And then on the other side, we have people that actually just want to do maybe a single book. Maybe it's a fun book for their child, something they're not going to be selling or really caring about the binding. They just want to have a quick and easy book, and they'll print it out locally and staple it together, and you know, you've got a fun little, you know, playbook for your child or whatever. So it depends on the scope that you're looking at.
I just want to touch for a minute on actually making enlargements too, because this is also part of the service that you work with. Is the process basically the same when you order a print through iPhoto, let's say an 8x10 enlargement, as it is when you order through Aperture? Again, is it analogous to the book service?
Yes and no is the answer. it works just as seamlessly. So we're basing it on the same sort of back end idea that right from the application you can click, you know, purchase prints, and you have easily the option to choose what sizes you want and make some choices, and then boom, you just click order and they ship right to your door. But Aperture has some pretty significant differences in the prints world, and that is that, as you know, Apple and Kodak have a partnership to provide these prints. And the prints that are generated out of iPhoto are very much your standard average consumer print, in that the prints are automatically zoomed to fit the aspect ratio of, say, a 4x6 print. So sometimes there's a slight amount of cropping, and that goes for any print service out there in the world today. And we also, of course, add sort of this special sauce that's not very powerful, but, you know, it's an algorithm that just makes the images look a little teeny bit better. And we do that for all the consumer images. We knew, though, right from the start that because we're working with a whole different caliber of user on the Aperture side that really wants to take all of that into their own hands, that we didn't want to apply those things to the Aperture prints. So the big differences are prints generated out of Aperture through the Apple service are not zoomed to fit, and they are not corrected in any way. So what you see is what you get. And that's worked really well for us, and I think it was the right choice.
So then basically no secret sauce for the Aperture prints. And so photographers got to take responsibility for what they're uploading to the service then.
Yeah, they do. And as Aperture's been available and more photographers do use the print services within it, we've heard nothing but good things about that choice specifically. You know, that's it's a much better choice than having your prints manipulated in some way at the press.
In terms of quality review and all that sort of stuff, all that's pretty much the same whether you send them up from Aperture or from iPhoto.
Yeah, the actual review process, QA, and all that stuff. Yep, similar.
Thanks so much, Greg. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.